You're listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the curtain at Lyric Opera of Chicago. Backstage at Lyric features in-depth interviews with the singers, conductors, and creative minds behind the productions in the 2007-2008 season. For additional interactive content and to order tickets, visit us online at lyricopera.org.
Soprano Stacey Tappan and tenor Brian Griffin are backstage at Lyric.
We're sneaking around behind everybody's back, so we've got to be fast. And we're rolling around on the floor, and we're running in and out.
All in a day's work.
And just before the most suspended line of all, we're running around like mad. Yeah. And then there's this moment of peace and the bocca baciata non perde ventura.
Yeah, that's good. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Thank you for downloading this episode of Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of one of the world's great opera companies. I'm Roger Pines of Lyric Opera of Chicago. In this episode, I have the pleasure of speaking to two outstanding young American artists, soprano Stacey Tappan and tenor Brian Griffin. They're playing the captivating young lovers Nanetta and Fenton in Lyric Opera's production of Verdi's Falstaff, one of the most lovable of all operatic comedies, and this great composer's final masterpiece. Before we play the interview, here's a brief synopsis of the opera. The rotund old knight, Sir John Falstaff, sends identical love letters to two married women, Meg Page and Alice Ford. The two of them decide to teach Falstaff a lesson. They send word to him that Alice is inviting him for a rendezvous. Falstaff's cronies, Bardolfo and Pistola, inform Alice's husband, Ford, about the love letters. Ford visits Falstaff in disguise, and he's consumed by jealousy when Falstaff reveals that he'll soon be paying court to Alice. The wooing ends badly for Falstaff. To avoid his being discovered by Ford, the women have him thrown into the river in a laundry basket. Still, he can't resist Alice, and he accepts her invitation to meet at Windsor Park at midnight for another tryst. There, he's punched and battered mercilessly by townspeople who are masquerading as fairies and goblins. Now, during this same scene, Alice gets the better of her husband by managing to get their daughter, Nanetta, married to young Fenton, rather than to the rich Dr. Caius, who'd been Ford's choice for a son-in-law. Well, Falstaff is philosophical about it all, declaring that all the world's a joke and man is born a clown. Now, on to the interview with Stacey Tappan and Brian Griffin. I hope you enjoy it. I'm here with Brian Griffin, who is singing the role of Fenton in our Falstaff production, and with Stacey Tappan, who is singing opposite him in the role of Nanetta. We've done Falstaff maybe once per decade, I think, but there's still going to be a fair number of people who haven't heard it before, so what do you enjoy the most about this piece, which is so different from all the other Verdi operas?
Well, for my part, I think it is just chock full of laughter and people having fun. The sense of fun that goes throughout this opera is just completely infectious, and I think it's really charming for the audience. It's in the music, it's in the characters, it's in the words, it's everywhere.
Brian?
I mean, one thing that I enjoy so much about it is kind of the ensemble work. I mean, at the end of Act 1, at the end of all the acts, there's just some unbelievably beautiful and complex and wonderful ensemble writing. I mean, it's very hard to coordinate, but once you get it together, it is just top-notch stuff.
Amazing.
Now, Stacey, you're Nanetta, Brian, you're Fenton, and the two of you together are the young love element in this show. So this is actually, I think, one of the most wonderful presentations of young love that I can think of in any opera in the repertoire.
It's just so perfectly typecast, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's what we do.
How do we learn about these two? How does this music show us what their relationship really is like?
Well, I find it sort of breathless and impetuous. Our interchanges are usually fairly brief. But we have these beautiful, soaring love duet moments as well.
And they almost always come out of chaos.
Yes, you know, yes. It's like there's this little oasis of love in the middle of chaos.
You know, I mean, this, particularly in Act 2, I mean, there's just this insanity going on with him, you know, in the basket.
With
Falstaff. And all of this, and Ford coming in and being so angry. And then, I mean, truly, it's just like this this little gliss up, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's the happy lovers, you know. And it's just wonderful stuff. Wonderful, forgiving writing.
Singing a little love duet behind a curtain, not a curtain,
a
behind
screen.
Behind a screen, and you're eventually discovered.
Yes.
Now, Stacey, I know you've sung Nanette's aria for quite a while, but this is your first time on the stage in the role, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since this aria really is, well, you both have arias that are highlights of the last scene, and Brian will get to your aria in a minute. But can you explain a bit, Stacey, about what's actually happening in that aria on the stage?
It's where they're trying to play a joke on Falstaff. They've asked him to come for a tryst with Alice in the middle of the forest.
And Alice is your mother.
And Alice is my mother. And they've arranged for everybody in the village to dress up as fairies and goblins and spirits to scare the life out of him. And I don't know what part Nanetta's aria is actually supposed to play in all of this, because it's completely beautiful and charming and it's not scary at all, except for maybe sort of ghostly and spirity and sort of.
And she's dressed as the queen of the fairies.
She's dressed as the queen of the fairies. And she sings this beautiful aria about fairies and flowers, which is actually based on the monologue that she has in the Shakespeare.
In Merry Wives of Windsor.
Yes, in Merry Wives of Windsor. But the beautiful poetry is there, these beautiful long-soaring lines, pianissimo high A's, just gorgeous writing.
And you had a wonderful experience a couple of years ago of singing it for one of our concerts at Grant Park.
Oh, yes.
Yes, tell us about that.
Well, I was singing it outdoors, and I have to say there's something magical about singing it outdoors. It was in the setting where it was supposed to be, in the middle of a park with people all around and silence and the sounds of nature around you, the crickets. It just brought a whole new dimension to it. It was beautiful.
Now, that scene starts out, Brian, with your aria. So can you explain a bit about what's happening there? It's so atmospheric.
Well, it is. I mean, it's mildly complicated poetry. I mean, it's just very, very, very filled with symbolism. But, I mean, one thing that's so beautiful, I mean, the aria itself is very beautiful. And in kind of a vocal writing way, somewhat similar to Nanetta's aria, in that it's very high and very soft.
Yes.
So it presents a lot of the same challenges. But the way that it's staged here is just so incredibly gorgeous. We decide to meet at the Herne Oak. And so I go and I'm kind of there. And so what happens is you don't realize that the tree is there. And then this beautiful moon kind of rises in the background. And so you see the silhouette of the tree. And it's just this gorgeous moment. And, I mean, basically, the line that he keeps saying over and over again throughout the entire opera is "Bocca baciata non perde ventura,"
which is
a kissed mouth doesn't lose its luck, its good fortune. And I mean, he's just obsessed with kissing. And I mean, it's very clear that they're young, happy lovers, because I mean, one of the climaxes of Act 2 is when we get caught kissing.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what makes them catch us. So it's just. It's just so joyful.
You also have a moment which I don't think a lot of lyric tenors get, which is in the middle of the ensemble that ends the first act, you are above really the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
What does that feel like as a lyric tenor to be able to just soar through all of those people?
Well, I mean, it's a beautifully written line, but part of me just wishes I could hear the scene, because it's one of my favorite things. It's this double quartet going on, which is, I mean, it's one of the reasons it's so hard to coordinate is kind of this, like, polymeter section where the women are kind of singing and, I mean, is it 6-8?
The women
six,
are in,
or?
Like, yeah, 6-8, and the men are in...
And I mean, my gosh, it's
it's
a landmine. It's a potential landmine.
The two groups are playing opposite each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's all about being an ensemble, this piece.
Oh, for sure.
So what is going on in rehearsal that allows that kind of ensemble to develop and to flourish? Yeah, you've sung with some of these people before, but there are a bunch of people that you haven't performed with. So what is this process like of drilling people so that they become this coherent ensemble where everybody's responding to everybody else? How does that work?
We're kind of divided into boys and girls in this group. There's, you know, all the women plotting together, and there's all the men plotting together, and that's mainly how the opera is arranged. I know that for the women's part, it's just a question of running through it over and over again, discovering something new every time, listening to each other, finding out each other's interpretations of it, and we're eventually getting to know each other and able to anticipate what somebody's going to do and enjoying it. There's a conspiratorial flavor of it that just, you know, running through things together builds up and helps contribute to the oneness of our group.
I have to give an awful lot of credit also to Olivier Tambosi.
Absolutely.
Our stage director.
Yeah, director.
He's just, he's unbelievably high energy. I mean,
yes.
halfway through the second week of rehearsals, he called in because he had thrown his back out or something, and none of us were surprised. I mean, just the way that he moves would throw my back out. I mean, this guy is really high energy, but it's the most infectious energy I've ever seen. I mean, he's the kind of director that just makes you want to do better, mm-hmm. Which is, I suppose, all you could ask of a director. Mm-hmm. And he does. He explains relationships without coming across as condescending, or, you know, like he's very good at keeping the whole thing together and keeping it fresh and real, which is wonderful. I think the audience will really respond to it.
Well, he knows the opera inside and out. He knows he knows all of the relationships, and he has a way of expressing them that is very immediate and very in touch with the emotions that the characters are feeling.
And doesn't he have a tremendous appreciation for the music?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Loves the music.
Oh, he's always
saying,
"Oh, I'm dramatic tenore." You
know? Now, for some people in this cast, it's a fairly physically active
it
opera.
Is very, very.
Is it for you?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, I discovered that the first day. Oh, my gosh. I mean,
I have to jump into his arms, and we practiced it about, holding in both arms.
And then immediately
start our duet. And we practiced it, seven or eight times?
God, at the end of that night, I mean, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I mean, I was so sore, just running around, and you know, he's like, are you fast? I'm like, I'll do my best.
Oh, yeah, we have to be very fast. We're sneaking around behind everybody's back, so we've got to be fast. But, and we're rolling around on the floor, and we're running in and out.
All in a day's work.
And just before the most suspended line of all, we're running around like mad, and then there's this moment of peace, and the bocca baciata non perde ventura.
Yeah, that's good. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Now, Brian, you're currently in the final months of your third and final year with the Ryan Opera Center, our training program. And, Stacey, you're a recent alumna of the Opera Center. So let's talk a bit about your time in the program. I mean, I'm especially curious about lessons that you learned here that you feel you will carry with you wherever you go.
Well, I have to say that the time on stage that I got with the Lyric really made a huge difference in transforming me from a student into an artist. Just to be able to stand next to some of the amazing singers that you get here and watching them breathe and watching them sing and watching how they focus and listening to their phrasing, that is something that no one can teach you. You just have to, and to witness it close up like that, you can see how it's done. And you can see what it involves and what it takes and what's too much and what's not enough. I learned so much from that.
And did you have some one-on-one time with various people who were singing here?
I got a coaching with Natalie Dessay.
What was that like?
It was amazing! She's a wonderful actress, and every line has to have an emotion behind it, and every line has to have a motivation. We worked on Zerbinetta's aria, which is chock full of like emotional and motivational changes. And I had a great time finding out about different ways to interpret it, different ways to think about it, and also ways to vocalize it. It was a revelation.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Brian, did you have that kind of experience with someone who was singing with us?
Oh, well, for sure. I mean, I just want to agree that one of the things that sets this young artist program apart is the fact that I believe they hire people based on their kind of usability, for lack of a better word. I mean, can this person cover what's coming up? Can this person sing some of the minor roles? And doing those minor roles and covering, I mean, that's where you learn more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have, you know, this unbelievably good coaching staff who's very, very caring. Gianna Rolandi, who's the head of the program now, she's just incredible. I mean, she's a wonderful voice teacher. She's also, you know, just a wonderful, you know, cheerleader for
yes,
us. I mean, she's our biggest advocate, and mm-hmm. it's such an important thing to have. And the fact that they trust you with kind of gradually larger assignments is just such a nice boost of confidence.
So what did it feel like when here you are in the third year of the program and you were cast specifically as the tenor lead in Falstaff? What that must have been very gratifying.
Oh yeah, no, it was fantastically gratifying. I was lucky to have the experience of going on for Michael Schotta in my first year, because he was singing Tamino in flute, and he was ill just before Christmas, which was a nice Christmas present for me. And so I got to go on and, you know, learn some of the potential pitfalls of singing a lead role. You know, there's you have to think a little bit more about stamina and things like that. I mean, neither Tamino nor Fenton are particularly tough in the stamina department, but it's something that you have to at least consider.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just unbelievably grateful and will be forever for this opportunity.
And Stacy, you, I think, had been out of the program only about a year or two when you got the role of Bella in The Midsummer Marriage, which mm-hmm. was an amazing opportunity, I think.
It was marvelous, yes. I owe a tremendous amount to Andrew Davis, whose musical insight really influenced me, and it helped me. I think that was the first role in which I felt like a true professional. And oh my gosh, so much fun and such beautiful music. It was the one role that I felt was really human. I think I was able to bring a lot of acting into it, which is not something you get a lot in opera.
And so this must be a lovely sort of reunion. I mean, to come back this year and to have both of the operas that you're in, Die Frau und Schatten,
yes,
and Falstaff, be conducted by Andrew. And Brian, you were part of Die Frau und Schatten as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must have been quite the peak experience in many ways.
A whole different ball of wax, that's for sure. I mean, that's...
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Frau is an opera I really didn't know almost at all before I... I mean, I actually sang for that role probably my first month in the program. It's a very short role. I mean, tiny compared to Fenton, but, I mean, presents... It's almost technically more challenging because it's very, very high and very, very loud. And so... I think it was, you know, I auditioned for it, and they're thinking, you know, it's tough to find someone to do that. So, but I was so lucky to get it.
Mm-hmm.
The inquiring minds want to know, what do you sing when you're not singing opera? Well, I sort of know a bit about what Brian sings because I've done karaoke with Brian, which
yes.
was a great experience. So, if you're singing in that situation, what sort of stuff do you go for?
Oh wow! Well. I don't know. I mean, I like an awful lot of music, but I mean, I'd have to say that my kind of favorite popular musicians are definitely Bob Dylan. I like Nick Drake a lot, Elliott Smith. I mean, those wouldn't be very good karaoke singers, but one of my absolute passions, and my girlfriend's going to kill me because she thinks I'm such a dork because of it, is barbershop music. My fellow colleague here is Paul Corona, and he turned me on to it, and it's just, I mean, it's my new passion, so.
Stacy, what's your non-operatic music of choice?
Actually, it's like musical theater, which is a kind of a cheat because it's just American opera, basically. But I also love... I like a lot of male singers, which is a shame because I sound really silly singing along with them. I like, you know, Billy Joel, and I like They Might Be Giants, independent indie groups, things like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope that people will carry away with them from this Falstaff experience? It's so different, as I said before, from basically any other Verdi opera, so they can't really come with the same sort of expectations that they have with an Aida or a Traviata. It is a comedy, after all. So what do you think that final impression from Falstaff should be?
I hope they laugh their heads off and they go away feeling really good.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of the joy that music can bring you.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things about, I mean, kind of, in relation to the two of us and our roles, is that unlike a lot of Verdi, I mean, there is nothing wrong. There's with the two lovers. I mean, there's neither of them is going to die, you know, and nothing bad is going to happen. It's just kind of the joy of love. And it's something that we can really all relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, so I hope people go away with a smile.
Thanks so much, both Stacy and Brian, and have a wonderful time at Falstaff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
You've been listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes at Lyric Opera of Chicago. Backstage at Lyric features interviews with the creative forces behind the productions in the 2007-2008 season. For additional interactive content and to order tickets, visit us online at lyricopera.org.